What if our Earth were known throughout the cosmos as the silent planet, a world quarantined from the harmonious community of heavens due to ancient rebellion? This is the startling premise of C.S. Lewis's space trilogy, where our world exists in spiritual isolation, cut off from the cosmic conversation. The trilogy follows philologist Elwin Ransom as he's kidnapped and taken to Mars, Malacandra, where he discovers not a savage wasteland, but a pre-lapsarian paradise inhabited by three intelligent species living in harmony. Through encounters with these beings, Ransom learns that each habitable planet has a guardian angel, Oyarsa, but Earth's rebelled against God, Maladil, and has been bent and bound to our atmosphere for millennia. This cosmic arrangement brilliantly recontextualizes human history. Our wars, cruelties, and spiritual blindness aren't merely human failings, but symptoms of our planet's corrupted spiritual environment. When we look at Earth's endless conflicts and exploitation, aren't we seeing evidence of this cosmic quarantine? The trilogy invites us to view humanity's struggles through this wider lens. We're participants in a drama that extends beyond our atmosphere, with Earth as the battlefield in an ancient conflict. Each planet in Lewis's trilogy represents a distinct spiritual condition. Malacandra, Mars, appears initially harsh with towering mountains and deep canyons, but Ransom discovers it's a world of ancient, fading glory, dying slowly, yet maintaining spiritual harmony. Its three intelligent species, the poetic Hrasa, scholarly Sorns, and technically skilled Fiflatrigi, live in peaceful cooperation without domination. Paralandra, Venus, presents an even more startling vision, a young paradise of floating islands on a world-spanning ocean. Here, Lewis reimagines Eden through the Green Lady, Venus's Eve, who lives in innocent communion with Maleldil. The floating islands themselves embody this spiritual condition. There is no fixed land, no possibility of establishing permanent settlements. The lady must surrender to the waves' movement, trusting divine provision rather than seeking security through control. Earth, Tholkandra, appears in the final volume as a world where spiritual corruption has infected social institutions. The National Institute of Coordinated Experiments, NICE, represents the culmination of bent thinking, science divorced from ethics, power without love, progress without purpose. Haven't we all experienced these three spiritual states within ourselves? Sometimes we're like Malacandra, bearing ancient wisdom but feeling our energy fade. Other times we're like Paralandra, experiencing innocent joy and trust. And too often we're like Tholkandra, witnessing how corruption can infect even our noblest institutions. Throughout the trilogy, Lewis portrays language not merely as communication, but as spiritual reality connecting all creation. The ancient Old Solar serves as the cosmic mother tongue from which all others derive. Unlike human languages with arbitrary symbols, Old Solar reflects reality directly. Its words connect inherently to what they name. This cosmic language allows beings to communicate across species with perfect understanding. When Ransom learns Old Solar from the Hrasa, he experiences not just new vocabulary, but a new way of perceiving reality. The power of true language culminates when Merlin pronounces judgment on the NIC leadership. Speaking the great tongue, he unmakes human language, causing the scientists and bureaucrats to speak only meaningless gibberish, inverting the Tower of Babel story. The trilogy's villains manipulate language to obscure truth. Weston's philosophical justifications, Divine's business euphemisms, and NIC's bureaucratic doublespeak represent language corrupted. By contrast, the Malacandrian's direct speech represents language in its unfallen state, words that connect rather than divide. Isn't this corruption of language familiar in our world of political doublespeak and corporate jargon? How often do words conceal rather than reveal? Lewis presents a cosmic hierarchy that challenges both modern egalitarianism and traditional authoritarianism. His universe is structured by natural authority and willing submission, where hierarchy exists not for domination, but for harmony and mutual flourishing. On Malakandra, three intelligent species live under the benevolent oversight of the Oyeressa, who guides rather than controls. Each contributes its unique gifts: Hrasa as poets and farmers, Sorns as philosophers, Filtrigi as craftsmen. This arrangement emerges naturally from each species' inherent abilities, not through coercion. This harmonious structure contrasts with Earth's power dynamics, where Weston justifies planetary colonization as humanity's evolutionary destiny, willing to eliminate Malakandrians for human advancement, hierarchy perverted into exploitation. The cosmic hierarchy culminates in the planetary powers, Oyeressu. Each embodies a distinct aspect of divine order. Mercury brings language, Venus love, Mars courage, Saturn wisdom, and Jupiter kingship. Their presence creates liberation, not oppression, as each being experiences their true nature more fully. Lewis reveals that true authority serves those beneath it. What might our institutions look like if they followed this model, where authority exists for flourishing rather than control, where power serves rather than dominates? Lewis offers a prophetic critique of scientific advancement divorced from moral wisdom. Through characters like Weston and institutions like the NIC, he examines how technology without ethical constraints becomes a tool for domination rather than flourishing. Weston embodies scientific brilliance without moral guidance. As a physicist who develops interplanetary travel, his philosophy reveals profound moral blindness, willing to sacrifice other rational beings for his vision of human progress. In that hideous strength, this critique expands through the NIC, representing science as totalitarian control. The Institute aims to eliminate undesirable populations, condition humans through propaganda, and transcend organic life. Philostrato's plan to keep a severed head alive represents their vision of immortality through technology, consciousness preserved without the mess of organic existence. Lewis isn't anti-science, but advocates for science guided by wisdom. The contrast between Weston's destructive brilliance and the Sorns' integrated knowledge illustrates this. The Sorns apply advanced scientific understanding within ethical boundaries, using technology to serve life rather than control it. In our age of AI, genetic engineering, and surveillance technology, Lewis's warning remains relevant. What happens when technological capabilities outpace moral wisdom? Lewis envisions the cosmos as an intricate dance of complementary forces rather than mechanistic clockwork. This dance appears everywhere, from Malakandra's harmonious society to planetary powers to the Studdock's reconciliation. It offers an alternative to both rigid hierarchy and chaotic individualism, showing freedom within structure and diversity within unity. On Malakandra, three intelligent species contribute unique gifts to create harmony rather than competing. Their differences foster complementarity, with each flourishing through relationship with others. Paralandra's floating islands physically embody this dance. Unlike Earth's fixed continents, they rise and fall with waves, requiring inhabitants to surrender control to the planet's rhythms. The Green Lady expresses this spiritual surrender. I am his beast, and all his biddings are joys. The descent of the planetary powers represents the dance's fullest expression. Each Oyeressa brings distinct qualities that create harmony rather than confusion, transforming the St. Anne's household and allowing each member to experience their true nature. This vision directly challenges the NICE's mechanistic worldview that seeks control by eliminating difference. Philostratos' dream of replacing organic life with artificial substitutes represents the ultimate rejection of the cosmic dance, seeking uniformity over harmony, domination over relationship. Perhaps the trilogy's most powerful message is that true harmony requires embracing differences within a larger pattern of meaning, not eliminating them.